That's right. When God made me, he was showing off. That's right. Tell somebody that. Yeah. Modern technology is awesome when it works. Yeah, it works. Eventually. And I have my glasses up. Hold on. There they are. Well, I was, but I lost that too. I lost that one too. So, come on. There we go. Praise God. God is awesome. All the time. Amen. Get your Bible out. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. God is so awesome all the time. He's looking out for us. You know, I'm glad God doesn't treat me like I treat him. I'm glad God don't put me on the back burner like I do him sometimes. Oh, did I say that? We're going to talk about that today. Matthew 25, verse 14. We're going to do some awesome stuff today. This is all, look at somebody and say, it's going to be awesome. Praise God. We know it's going to be awesome. Why? Because it's his word. And when it's his word, it's always. Somebody say always. Always awesome. Amen. I stand for the reading of the word. How many's ever heard that sometimes you need to get a checkup from the neck up? Huh? Well, sometimes we need to get a checkup from the outside to the inside. Amen? It's good to get a checkup from the neck up, but it's even better to get a checkup from the outside to the inside. Amen? Y'all quiet today. Amen. All right, help me out some. All right. Matthew 25, verse 14. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say on me. All right. Praise God. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Didn't call in manpower. Didn't call in megaforce. He called in his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another, 10. Somebody say $50,000. Unto one he gave $50,000. To another he gave $2,000. Excuse me, $20,000. To another one he gave $10,000. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. You see, God knows how much you can handle. God knows how much you can take. God knows how much when he gives it to you, how much you're going to use it for him, for his glory, and how much you're going to just frivolously let it slip away. And so God knows. So God knows when he gives it to you if you can handle it or not. Amen? And to one he gave the 5 talents again, another 2, and another 1, everyone according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents, or say $50,000, say it, $50,000, went and traded the same and made another $50,000. Wow, he got $100,000. Wow. And likewise, he that had $20,000, he gained another $20,000. He got $40,000. Wow! But he that had received $1,000 or $10,000 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Huh. Wow! We're going to talk about a little bit too. There's a difference in planting or sowing and burying. When you plant something, when you sow something, you're expecting a harvest. You're expecting it to burst out and show forth. When you bury it, you want it to stay hid, gone, nothing. One promotes a harvest and the other one promotes nothing. Now, God's got a very serious thing about this, because watch this now. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckon with them, and so he that had received the five talents, say 50,000, lay at 50,000, came and brought 50,000 and said unto the Lord, deliverest me unto me 50,000. Behold, I have gained now. I have 100,000. Wow. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enterest thou into the joy of the Lord. Also he that received the 20,000 came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me 20,000. Behold, I've gained 20 more. So here's 40,000. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enterest thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent, $10,000, came and said, Lord, I knew that thou was a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent of the earth. Lo, there, here it is. Here's your $10,000. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put the money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. In other words, he should have got 20 grand when the man came back. I'll take for the talent from him and give it unto him that has the 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you do for us, Lord. I thank you for your power, your anointing, your word. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, in a special way, God. Help us to realize, Lord, that we are your stewards. Lord, that we have been called to make a difference in this arena. Lord, whether it be in our home, whether it be in our work, whether it be in our church, whether it be in our community, we've been called to make a difference. And I thank you for that too, Lord, that you trust us enough to entrust us with your anointing and with your power and with your blessing in order for us to be blessed and be a blessing. Father, let this day, Lord, be a day that sparkles as a checkup from the inside, from our outside in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Let me go ahead and read this a little different. Before I do, let me tell you this little story. A gorilla walks into a drugstore. And he orders $1.50 chocolate sundae. He put a $10 bill on the counter to pay for it. The clerk thought, what could a gorilla know about money? So he gave the gorilla a single dollar bill as change. As he did, the clerk said, you know, we don't get many gorillas in here. No wonder the gorilla replied, at $9 a Sunday. So I was talking about stewardship, so I figured that was a good one for stewardship. Amen. All right, so let me read this in the message. I love the message. It's so awesome, and it really puts it right down where we're at. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. The one he gave $5,000. Another he gave $2,000. To another one, $1,000. So some people say it was $1,000. Some say it was $10,000. Some say it was even more than that. So it depends on what kind of currency you're talking about. But depending on their abilities, then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the Lord of those three servants came back and settled up with him. Then one given 5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him, good work. You did your job well. From now on, you'll be my partner. The second with 2,000 showed how he had also doubled his master's investment. His master commended him, good work. You did your job well. From now on, you'll be my partner. The third servant, the one with 1,000, said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. if you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? Wow. Let me stop right here. Lord, I want you to check my heart. This is not about money. This is about God, what God has given us, whether it be time, talent, or resources. It's about what God has given us. Are we giving our best, or like this servant, doing even less than the least? Wow. Here's a good chance for y'all to go, wow. Wow. Okay. Y'all awful quiet. At least you could have done is invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the 10,000 or the 1,000 and give it to the one who has risked the most and get rid of this play it safe guy who won't get out on a limb. Throw him in the outer darkness. Wow. When I read that, I got to admit, it skimped me back. You ever do any electrical work? If you're going to use the wire, you got to skin it back. Sometimes when you're welding and you got flux all everywhere, or you got stuff in the way, sometimes you got to skin it back, amen, to make it work. Well, that one skimped me back, amen, because I said, Lord, I always tell you that I want to do my best, and God, I always tell you that I want to, but am I? See, there's three kinds of people in this world: those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, those that wonder what happened. Those that make things happen are the stewards. Those that watch things happen are the spectators. Those that wonder what happened are the guys who are just hanging around. And in God's economy, there's those three people too. I don't want to be the guy hanging around. I definitely don't want to be the spectator. I want to be the steward. And let God show his glory through me and my actions and my attitude. Amen? So here we go. Simple, or when fear drives your stewardship. That's what it was. The problem with this guy, you know, I do a lot of counseling with people about fear. Fear, fear, fear. Fear is usually the root of just about every problem you will encounter. Did you know that? Fear. Y'all say fear. Fear is the root of just about every problem you will ever encounter. So let's talk about fear-driven stewardship. Stewardship itself is simple. It's the practices of managing another's resources. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, you can't get much more cut and dry than that. So let's just go a little further on this one. And I reckon we are. Have we got a dead battery? Here we go. Remember, technology is awesome until it don't work. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Psalm 24:1, 1 Corinthians 10:26. So here's some facts about stewardship. Remember, stewardship is your time, your talent, your resources. Time, talent, and resources. One more time, y'all say it with me. Time, talent, and resources. God has allotted every last one of us. You know, let me tell you something. Did you know that every last one of us have been allotted the same amount of time? 24 hours a day. Now, what we do with it, we're the manager of the time, and there's a lot of things we cannot manage. You got to go to work, and you got to give. You know, I remember at Procter & Gamble, I'd work that 8, 10, 12 shift, and as I get through with that shift, I'd see about 15 minutes before it's time to leave. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I'd see my boss man come walking with that same, I called it, stupid look. And he'd say, can you give me 4 more hours? And you didn't say no. What he was trying to say is, you just got 4 more hours tacked on. Didn't matter if I could or not. You had it. And so I'm not talking about it. We all have the same 24 hours, but there's things in it that we cannot control. We cannot control our work. We cannot control that kind of time. But there's things in our life that we can control, and there's things that we do that we can't control. We're not a robot. And so we have to be careful and watch. You know, I was thinking about last night. We got back from Charlotte. We see Bethany every first Saturday. Bethany said, hey, she loves you. And I can't take my phone in. If I could take my phone in, I would get a picture of her. I got a picture from the outside, but if I get in there with her, I could get her on video where she could talk to y'all, and I could put her up here, but I can't do that. So we get back from Charlotte about 12 o'clock last night. And so I sat down and said, well, Lord, I really want to go to bed. And the Lord said to me, well, you got a sermon to finish. And you got homework. And so I said, well, Lord, why don't you do it? And the Lord said, I will through you. So, last night I finished his sermon. And I worked on a paper. And I finished out this morning, finished working on a sermon. And finished working on the paper. And now it's in Cleveland, Tennessee. I sent it off. And now, today between services, I'm going to write a 4-to-8-page essay. So, don't go, oh, poor thing. This is not old poor thing. I'm learning. I love it. I thank God for it. But sometimes I think that's all we've got to do is their work. Amen. But here's the point I'm trying to make you. If you know you got something coming, if you know something's happening, you got to allot it. You got to allot things because remember, we're stewards of what God has given us. And it's very important because watch this. How many here own your house? Try not paying taxes on it. How many here own your car? Try not paying taxes on it. God taught me something. Watch this. Stewardship fact number one. God owns it all. Everything. The earth. Look, he said, look, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, in the world, all who live in it. Everything is the Lord's. God owns it all. David Linton owns nothing. God owns it all. That's the first thing. Second stewardship fact. I'm trying to hurry up. I don't know it's going to be how hurrying it's going to be. Number two is, we don't own anything. God owns it all. We don't own anything. I love playing that bass. That T-40 is mine. When I'm gone, when I die, they're not going to put that in the coffin with me. There won't be room for it. I wouldn't even want to put in the coffin. I want my boys to have it. But you see, again, playing the bass, playing the guitar, singing, whatever we're doing, it all belongs to God. It came from Him. And we're to use it for His glory. And then the third thing. God owns it all. We don't own anything. And we are called to manage God's possessions. Our talents, our resources, our time, our talent, our treasures, they are all God's. He knows. He knows. And we're called to take care of it. Matter of fact, one day, each of us are going to be called stand before God and to show Him what we did with them. So here we go. You ready? We're all stewards of our time, our talent, our treasure. God has entrusted this stuff to us. Some of us, you know, it's like this. God has not called me to bring everybody in this church to my level because if the truth be known, some of y'all make me look like I'm sitting still. God has not called me, and God has not called you to bring somebody to your level. God has called us to bring out the best in people. Because if you bring out the best, then they're going to rise to the level they need to be at. And it may be above you. It may be below you. It's okay. If you're giving your best, you've done your best. Some are five talents. Some are four talents. Some are two talents. Some are one talent. Whatever. But still, it's up to us to manage it. You see, one day, this isn't David Linton talking, this is the Word of God. One day each of us is going to be called to give an account of how we managed our time, our talent, our treasure. Now you can tell me one thing, you can tell someone else another thing. I can tell you one thing. When we stand before God, God's not going to say, let me ask you, And then he's going to sit there and look at you. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Now he's going to go, now let me show you. Here, let me show you what you were thinking. Let me show you. Let me show you that what you did. I mean, it's going to be a whole different ball game. And so I'm telling you, in this last day, we don't have time to play around. This election is crucial. Not only is the election crucial, this world has gone crucial. I mean, it's amazing some of the things we're having to fight that we never thought we'd have to fight before. There's things we're having to do we thought we'd never have to do. Allowances that we're having to make we thought we'd never have to make. But this world has gone crazy. And it's gone crazy because God's been taken out of everything. We've politically correct ourselves and politically correct Christ out of Christianity. And so it's important that we understand that in this last day, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Watch this. Fear-driven. Fear. Fear is a feeling of dread, alarm, panic, anxiety. And it's a learned response. The Bible says we can cast down imaginations. We can cast them down. We can take into captivity that junk that's trying to hold us called stinking thinking. You see, you unlearn it because if not, it's going to produce negative consequences. You see, eventually we begin to operate driven by fear. And when you're driven by fear, I just write this whole thing down. It paralyzes decision making. It immobilizes actions. It hinders prayer. Limits faith, restricts relationships, lowers productivity, jeopardizes health, and it stifles joy. It affects every area of life. There's a lot of places right now that the crime rate is higher, and the reason the crime rate is higher is because police are scared to do their job. Because if they do their job, they get whammed. Somebody comes along and does something stupid and hurts somebody, and whammed. Every policeman is branded the same. It's not so. And if the truth be known, more whites are killed by police than blacks. But you don't hear about that. And we kill more police than they kill people. We don't hear about that. And so, in this convoluted, mismanaged society, we've got this crazy mess going on. And we're afraid. You see, this story here deals with the danger of fear-driven stewardship. I'm trying to hurry up. Some of y'all are saying, I wish he was through now. You see, stewardship. There's two ways you build on stewardship. You build on faith and you build on fear. If I build on faith, then I've got trust in God. And because I trust Him, now I'm active. And because I'm active, like these guys, they took their talent, went out, and they worked. And as they worked in it, they were increased. And as they were increased, they were rewarded. And I've seen people that could not play. I've seen people that could not sing, people that could not preach, people that couldn't do whatever. But they gave it to God. And I watched God transform it because God was more concerned with the person that was available than the person that had ability that wasn't available. So it's amazing to me, if it's built on fear or on faith, you got trust. But if it's built on fear, watch this. You got built on fear. Now you don't trust God. Does he really mean what he said? Is the word really true? Does it really say, am I really going to see God do something special if I reach out for him? So then you become inactive. And as you become inactive, eventually you just keep decreasing and decreasing and decreasing until it becomes thwarted. And when you become thwarted, you've gone from those that make things happen to those that watch things happen to those who wonder what had happened. You see, that's a powerful, powerful thought. So, when you're in fear mode, when you're being driven by fear, it causes confusion. So, see, faith-driven. When you're faith-driven, you're clear. You got your purpose. You got it all figured out. Not all figured out necessarily, but you get your trust in God. It's clear. When you're fear-driven, you're confused. I don't know what to do. I'm just, blah, 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 blah. No. When God's in control and you trust in Him, faith, see, here's what happened. The Bible says the first two went and did work with what God gave them. That's a positive word. This word went's different in the Greek for the two guys and the one guy. With the first guys, that word went is positive. For the second or the third guy, excuse me, that word is negative. Now, watch this. Here's what it means. Watch this. It means to lead over, to carry over, to transfer, to pursue on the journey on which one has. But the other one means literally to go away sufferings of good things taken away from one. So see, he gone away. He feels like he's suffering. He feels like he can't trust God. He's confused. He's negative. And so he takes this thing and he goes and buries it in the earth. So what happens is one guy has purpose. The two guys, excuse me. And the one guy, he has no purpose. One guy, the two guys, they have power. They go on out. They take it and they use their talent. And this is not about money. This is about your time, your talent, your treasures. It's a triangle. If you're going to be complete in God, it's a triangle. Time, talent, or treasures. And so now, these guys have got power. What this guy's doing, he has no power needed. He took a shovel, dug a hole, put it in the hole, covered it up, put a rock on it. Then, the first guys, they're determined to make a profit. Oh, listen carefully. This is worth the price of admission right here. The first two guys were determined to make a profit, to make a difference. Listen, to make a difference. The last guy was determined not to take a loss. Wow. Our Lord gave us this responsibility. He's not around. He wants us to do His bidding for Him. And so they went out and did His work for Him. This is about doing what God has sent you to do. Stepping up to the plate, letting God work through you. They let God work through them. The other guy said, nah, this is a hard thing. He's a bad dude. No, we ain't going to do this. Let me just tell you something about fear. I know y'all looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Y'all smile. Please smile at me. Okay, get ready. Get ready. First, fear causes confusion. Then fear makes us cynical. Remember, in counseling, the number one problem, the root of just about every problem, the root in marriage counseling, the root in personal counseling, the root in just about anything you want to think of, even when it comes to drug addiction and other kinds of addictions, the root usually is fear. And second is stress. So here we go. So fear gave him a negative view on life. He said, I knew that you were a hard man. Well, yeah. God can take control when he wants to. He can be, he's in control all the time if we let him. You see, the other two, they saw the master that way, positive about, or never saw him that way. They saw him positive about their relationship. They believed that they would be rewarded, and they shared his joy. You see, but the third guy, it was his attitude. See, fear is a way of negative thinking. Did you know that? When you get afraid, all of a sudden everything becomes negative in your life. You become a negative person. Usually, if you know a person, how many know people, please don't point, but how many know people that are just totally negative? Do not point. Please. If you know somebody that's totally negative, I will show you somebody that has fear built up in them. Fear is built up in that person. So you may think they're Billy Bad, they're tough stuff. But if you can look inside of people on the inside, you're seeing that tough exterior and thinking they're mean people. No, if you open them up, they're afraid. That's the root of negativity. You're afraid. So here we go. Watch this now. He's not a master of the mean man. He lets that fear swallow him up. I'm almost through. Some of y'all are afraid I'm not going to be. Okay. Now, does it make us cynical? See, God's a heavenly loving Father. He's got a plan for us all, amen? So now, watch this. Now, does fear make us cynical? Fear drives complacency. You know, there's a lot of, procrastination. There's a lot of reasons for procrastination. And one of them is you got too many things on your plate. You just got too many things on your plate. And so you keep putting things around, trying to, and you need to learn how to source out stuff and learn how to delegate and learn how to get stuff because you got too much on your plate. And so what looks like a procrastination sometimes is you just overloaded. Anybody here been overloaded? Amen. So not all procrastination is started by fear, but there is a driving force to a lot of procrastination, and that's the fear. You see, fear makes us dig a hole and hide what needed to be put to work. Wow. He hid it. It should be working, but he hid it. I was afraid and went and hid that talent on earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. You know, every last one of us, and I'm going to be positive. Every last one of us have talent in us that hasn't come out yet because we don't know it. Okay? Sometimes you just don't know it. Until the opportunity arises, and then you're thrust into the position. Some say men are born great, others had greatness thrust upon them. If you look at the greatest presidents in the United States, the ones everybody remembers, they're the guys that were there. Greatness was thrust upon them. They had to go into pressure. They had to go into the tough stuff. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan. You look at these guys. These guys came in some tough times, and they stood the test. They stood up, and they did what was right. George Bush. George Bush Jr., it's amazing to him, is that he had the highest rating of any president ever lived. The highest rating through the United States. He also had the lowest. Talk about a seesaw. But these guys, I remember watching them 9/11. And President Bush is going to a school doing something about learning to read. Reading programs. And while he's sitting there, as he sits down, they said, looks like there's been a plane hit a tower. He thought maybe just somebody just messed up. Bad driver. Flyer, not a driver, flyer. And he's sitting there, and then they come up to him and said, now a second plane has hit the other tower. Did you see his face? Watch. He didn't go, oh no, what am I going to do? He just went. He says, I'll be out. And he goes through what he's doing for just a few minutes, and he goes out and takes care of business. He had greatness thrust upon him. He hadn't planned that day to do that. But when it was thrust upon him, he didn't back down either. He didn't realize what was in him until it was squeezed out of him. Some of y'all in here right now, you don't realize what's in you until it gets squeezed out of you. But praise God, when it's squeezed, I sure hope that it's not lemon juice. Amen. So here, he was afraid. So look. You got to realize your life has purpose. God has given all of us talents, resources, and it's time to dig up our talents, our dreams, our goals, our hobbies, our plans, our interests. Well, I don't know what God's given me to do. Let me just tell you this. I'm going to help you find some of your gifts in God. Number one, if God has a gift in your life, first of all, here's one way you're going to be able to tell it. What's something you really like? What's something that you like that you're good at that you can even do it without even thinking about it? Usually, that's going to lead you to your talent. Secondly, what always aggravates you and you feel that you can make a difference in that area. That's another thing. So you watch and see. And when you see something that you're good at, that with training you can be even better, and you see something that makes you angry and you want to make a difference there, that, I can guarantee you, that's some gifts and that's some callings. So here it is. It's not like some kind of major brain surgery where a brain surgeon has come in and cut your head open and says, I'll see the talent there and I'll see that talent. No! So, we need to pass on what we've learned to others. That's part of that. But see, fear makes us complacent. I'm really getting close to the end. I've only got 15 more slides. Some of y'all need to slow down your fingernail chewing. Might want to back down just a little bit. You might need a couple left fingers left before I get through. Ready? fear also makes us cop out. Excuses keep us from being productive. Abraham Lincoln said, you know, if you look on the internet, everything was either said by Abraham Lincoln or Benjamin Franklin. Matter of fact, every quote on the internet is either by Benjamin Franklin or Abraham Lincoln. Matter of fact, it was signed Abraham Lincoln on the internet. Get it? Abraham Lincoln said, excuses are the nails that build a house of failure. When Abraham Lincoln was trying to win the Civil War, he didn't want a war, but he got it. It was thrust upon him. When it was over, the North wanted to come down and consume the South, which they really did a lot. But Abraham Lincoln was the restraining force that kept them from doing worse than they did. Lady told Abraham Lincoln, said, aren't we supposed to destroy our enemies? He said, when you make them friends, aren't they your? Don't you destroy your enemies? The South is not our enemy. They're our friend. But he would have all these generals. He put them in charge, and they would not fight. And so he wrote these letters to these generals, wrote these letters to these colonels. Whenever he was upset, he would write letters to his cabinet members, write letters explaining just how upset he was. Then he would take the letter, and he would seal it, and he'd put it in his desk and never mail it. He knew that art of getting it off your chest without tearing somebody else up. When they found him, or after he was shot that night in Lincoln Theater, or Ford Theater, when he got shot, when they found him, he had a watch and he had something else, but he also had writings in his pockets. He had one writing talking about how sorry he was, another writing talking about how good he was, some of his accomplishments. So he kept himself in balance. Awesome man. Doing an awful time. But see, excuses keep us from being productive. You see, he blamed the character and personality of his master as his lack of investing. So if it's in here, you might have you ever said, well, God, if you hadn't have done it this way, I could have done that. You know, I remember after I watched DC and Daniel take off flying with that music. I mean, I put it in their hands from the time they were little bitty things. I kept putting music in their hands. We won't play another instrument. I got it for them. Whatever they wanted, they got. And I made sure that we did some way or another. I trained them. Now they're training me. I think I've learned more from them than they learned from me. But sometimes I think about it. I said, well, Lord, if I'd have known this, I could have been practicing when I was really young, and I could be playing like these boys. I have friends minister friends that have doctor's degrees, and they're already psychologists, psychiatrists, and all this stuff. I think, Lord, if I'd have known, I could have done that instead of engineering. I could have. But you know what? The Lord always speaks to me and says, son, I know what I'm doing. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. Some of you on here are going to go, God, if, and God's saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I'm using you where you're at. I'm causing you to bloom where you're planted. You see, it's interesting is that the third man agreed to take the money. He agreed to take it and invest it. He agreed to do like the other guys. He got the same instructions, take the money and invest it. But when he got it, fear set in, and that's when he started making excuses. Wow. You know, five major excuses that he made. I'm getting quick now. I'm going to go ahead and get through here because the heart can only absorb as much as the behind can stand. Amen. So here we go. Real quick. Can y'all give me 5 minutes? 10? All right, 10 minutes. Eddie said 10, so if I go longer, it's Eddie's fault. Ready? Here's his excuses that we have. This should be David Linton's excuse box. How many ever said, I didn't do it? I didn't do it. You see, it consists of denial and blaming others. He said, Lord, I knew. I knew you, Lord, so that's why I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Number two, Here's a good one. This is our favorite one for the Christian. It wasn't so bad. Hold still. Oh, it wasn't so bad. To minimize our sins and mistakes, he said, I went and hid it. I didn't use it. I told you I was going to use it. I told you I was, if you give it to me, Lord, I'm going to use it. I'm going to let you get glory out of me. But instead, I'm going to sit there with that remote in my hand. I want somebody to do this. Well, I know they need help. Let somebody else help them. So watch. Here's a good one. Yeah, but is not a reptile. It is not the sound that a frog makes. Yeah, but. It's the sound we make. Yeah, but. Well, you know what? But see, that's an admission of guilt followed by an excuse. Yeah, but. Couldn't help. I'm going to send that into Jeff Foxworthy, Southern stuff. Yeah, but. I couldn't help it. It wasn't really me. He says, I knew. I knew what's going on, Lord. Well, here's a good one. It's not my fault. See, we shift responsibilities to others, to the pastor, anything or anyone, rather than owning up to our own responsibility. It's not my fault. You're a hard man. If you're a kind of person, let's back away from this one and just talk about relationships. If you're the kind of person that's always looking for somebody else to blame for everything you do, and you've always got them for a reason, for a catch-all, stop it. Just stop it. Because when you stand before God, God's not going to be judging you for them. God's going to judge you for you. And I'm telling you as a protection, I'm telling you as your pastor, if you're always looking for somebody else to blame for why you are the way you are, stop it! Do you know, listen carefully, that will send you to hell faster than anything I can think of. You can't blame everybody for everything all the time. Yes, things have happened bad to all of us. Yes, we've all gone through some rough stuff. Yes, it hurts. I can go back through my life and see things that hurt and still hurt. But I can't let it stop me. We're talking about Paul McCartney. You know what Paul McCartney did? His mama died at 14. John Lennon's mama died at 17, when he was 17. They were in Liverpool. Paul McCartney, his daddy was a musician. But his daddy, in order to ease the pain of his mama's death, let him start playing music. His brother played music too, but his brother got in an accident. His brother would have been the other Beatle. But his brother was a drummer, but he wound up falling out of a tree or something, hunting or skiing or something, and his arm got so broke that it lost the nerves in it, and for a long time it was up here like this. He wound up being a photographer for rock bands. But what wound up was the biggest tragedy in Paul McCartney's life set him on the path to be one of the greatest musicians ever on this earth. There's not a day goes by that his songs have not been played 1,000 times all over this world, in every country. You can get in an elevator and they got the standard Rent-A-John music. Everywhere you go. But you see, he got together with John, and they were trying to mourn their mother's death. And as they mourned their mother's death, they were musicians. They just started playing together. As they started playing together, they started writing songs together to get over their mother's death. And as they mourned their mother's death, John's mother was Julia. What is John's first child's name? Julian. They're trying to get over their mother's death, and so as they began to play together to get over their mother's death, they became two of the most powerful musicians in the entire world. Somebody on here right now, something's happened to you, and you want to blame it. Well, if this hadn't happened, I'd do this. If this hadn't happened, I'd be like this. not knowing that what's happened is not here to stop you, it's here to propel you, to give you greatness that God can use in a powerful way, but you got to trust Him. You say, here's one. Can't do it. We sell ourselves short. Fear causes the mind to shut down. Instead of seeing opportunities, we just see obstacles. I was afraid. So I'm getting through, really, now, because I know. Remember, if you throw anything, any fruit, make sure it's not candy. Watch this. Finally. Fear costs us our potential. Take the talent from him and give it to unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given and shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Wow. See, there's a price tag attached to fear. Did you know that? What doesn't develop deteriorates. That's what he said. I'm going to take it away from you. If you're not going to use it, I'm going to take it away from you. Meaning, if I had really worked at it, just imagine what could happen. You see, in the end, he doesn't just lose his potential. In the end, he even lost his initial investment. Wow. That's tough. You see, fear diminishes us, faith enriches us. And if you've buried your talents because of fear, here's my thought for the week. If you have buried your talents because of fear, go dig them up and begin to make an investment of your life for God's sake. When I say talent now, you're thinking playing a guitar. No. God specifically put this here in the aspect of money, not because he's talking about money, but he's talking about the stuff that God's given you to make a difference in this world, whether it be your time, your talent, or your resources, or all three. The stuff he's given you to make a difference in this world, if you take it and hide it, not only will you not grow, it will deteriorate, and you will lose your initial investment. Wow. You know, it amazes me. Here's my last official slide. I got a few more unofficial. Giving back some of God's gifts, time, talent, or treasure. Watch this. We talked about what the one guy did. The other guys reached out. They invested. They didn't hide it. They invested. Remember this. Listen. There's a difference in sowing and burying. The first two sowed. The last one buried. There's a big difference. One produces, is productive. Sowing is productive. Bearing is counterproductive. Sowing expects a revelation. Bearing expects concealing. Finally, sowing propels harvest. Bearing prevents harvest. So we can complain and tell everybody, well, it's their fault. They done this, they done that. If they hadn't done this, they'd blah, 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 blah. If we can get past the excuses, get past the blame game, that's the very first thing. You know where fear originated? In the garden. The Bible says, Adam and Eve, they partook of that fruit. They listened. The first disobedience, they listened to Satan. The first deception, they listened to him. The first disobedience, they ate it. And then, I'm going to do this later on and talk about it, but I just want to throw it out here right now. It said they hid when they heard the Lord. They said, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. They heard the word. Wow. The word walks, it talks, it speaks, it's Jesus. And so we heard it walking and we were afraid. And so they covered themselves, the first covering. And then here comes the blame game. Adam says, that woman you gave me. And the woman said, it's that snake that you allowed to be in here. course, the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. So here we go. The others reached out and invested. Watch this. Not fear, but faith. And when God, what about those four guys when they let down the paraplegic down through the roof? Said when he saw their faith, he said, he healed. So watch. He saw their faith in God. And I'll say in God. And God, first he responded. They gained. They got 100% of their investment. And then they were rewarded eternally. From here on out. The stuff you're doing out here, you think it's not going to last. It might aggravate you because you're going to do something. Well, it don't matter in the long run if I do anything or not. Yeah, it does. None of it matters to God's work down here. But God's going to reward you eternally for what you do down here. Wow. So now, I had to run across this. And this is in the newsletter this month. I ran across this Lord's Prayer. And I went to read it. And it kind of sounds kind of rough, but I don't mean it to be rough. Really, I don't. But it does sound kind of rough, so y'all get ready. These are the unofficial ones. Or you had all the official ones. Ready? Lord's Prayer and Stewardship. I cannot say our if I have no room in my life for others and their needs. I cannot say Father if I do not demonstrate this relationship in my daily living. I cannot say who art thou in heaven, who art in heaven, if my interests and pursuits are only earthly. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I'm only called who I'm called to bear his name and not holy. Thy kingdom come if I'm unwilling to give my own sovereignty up and accept the righteous reign of God. Thy will be done if I'm unwilling or resentful of having God's will in my life. On earth as it is in heaven, unless I'm truly ready to give myself his service here and now. I'm sorry that I got these small letter gods. I meant to have big letter, but I was riding down I-85. How many of you ever rode down I-85? While I'm typing, and honestly, most people think I-85 is the speed limit. Okay, I was doing this on the way back from Charlotte yesterday. On earth as it is in heaven, unless I'm truly ready to give myself to his service here now. Give us this day our daily bread without expecting honest effort for it or by ignoring the genuine needs of others. I cannot say forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us if I continue to harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say lead us not into temptation if I deliberately choose to remain in a situation where I'm likely to be tempted. I cannot say deliver us from evil if I'm not prepared to fight in the spiritual realm with the ultimate weapon of prayer. I cannot say thine is the kingdom if I do not give the kind of disciplined obedience of a loyal subject. I cannot say there thine is the power if I fear what my neighbors may say or do. I cannot say forever if I'm too anxious about each day's events. And I cannot say amen unless I can honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer. Wow. Time, talent, treasure. Embracing God's investment strategy. Somebody might say, well, if I had enough money, maybe God's not wanting you to use money. Maybe God's wanting you to use your back, your hand, your mouth. Well, if I had enough, if I was strong enough, maybe he wants your time to come and do something, to take somebody somewhere, to be with somebody. You know, it's so amazing to me that when we're in Charlotte, and it seems like everywhere I stopped, there was something to do. I stopped for myself to get a Starbucks, start for myself to do whatever, get gas. And everywhere I stopped, there was something. Later on that night, it was like 12 o'clock at night on Friday night. We were in Greensboro. Linda was hurting from that car wreck that she had a couple weeks ago, plus the fibromyalgia and that long trip. She just was hurting. And so I went to Walmart to help get her something. And the Walmart around the corner was closed, so I had to drive all the way across Greensboro to a Walmart. I get in there. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to be here in this place. It was kind of wild, like Dodge City. I was expecting to see Wild Earp come out. And all of a sudden, somebody came up walking to me and said, and here I went. I got my chance to minister. Went inside, got a chance to minister. walked back into the hotel and got a chance to minister to my own wife because she was hurting. You see, God's watching. Some of y'all may have more free time than others. Some of y'all may have more treasure than others. Some of y'all may have more talent than others. But that's not an excuse for not using your time, your talent, your treasure. Think of it this way, and I'm closing. DC, get ready. BJ, get ready. Whoever else is going to play, get ready. Think of it this way. As servants of Christ and stewards, I'm a steward, I'm a servant of Christ, and I'm a steward of God's mystery. Wow. I'm a servant of Christ, and I'm a steward of God's mystery. Three people, those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, those who wonder. My challenge to you this week is to ask God, Lord, some of y'all got more free time than others. Some of y'all have got more talent than others. Some of y'all have got more treasure than others. Usually, if you've got more, the Bible says, to what whom much is given, what? Mm-hmm. So, some of you may have more in one area than others. God, show me how to invest it. There's a difference in investing and spending. I can go out and I can go to the fish house and I can buy a fish. That's spending. I can go to Walmart and invest that same money in a fishing rod, you know, a license to go out and catch fish. When I spend it, that's it. There's no more money. But that when I invest in that fishing rod and that license, I can get supper after supper after supper after supper. God, let me not spend it. Let me invest it. Everybody stand. God may not have given everybody the same thing, but he expects the same out of everybody. Let me clarify that. Again, he may not give everybody the same free time. May not have given everybody the same talent. May not give everybody the same treasure. But he expects the same out of all of us, and that is to give our best of whatever it is he gave us. I saw an example of this one time when I first became a Christian. I was growing in the Lord, and I had become the clerk of the church. And so I was there all the time as the clerk. And it was brought to mind in the pastor's attention there was two families in the church that were struggling. And we had something back in the day called a pounding. Ever heard of a pounding? Where you take and everybody brings, on a certain Sunday, everybody brings canned goods and food and stuff. But there was these two families we were going to do a pounding for. And we told them we were going to do the pounding. And so the Sunday when the pounding came, a couple of weeks later, there was one group of people. Both these people were in bad shape, both groups. But I saw time, talent, and treasure invested that day in a different way. Because one group that the pounding was for, they came to church, they got the pounding, they said very little, and they left. The other group, the head, the father, he comes in, and we're having the pounding, and he comes in with a bag in his arm. And I said, hey, brother, we're here for a pounding for you. He says, I know. He says, but I've been called to participate too. And he took a bag and he put it over in the pile with the other man. you broke my heart. I had never seen stewardship and sacrifice like that up to that time. The other guy just took it, walked out like it was, you know, sure, fine, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Another guy put in here as he was receiving his own. Both of them in the same kind of shape. But one had the idea of, I've got nothing. And the other one had the idea of, I'm a steward and I got something. I need to use it. That day did more for me. That one act did more for me than 1,000 sermons. God's watching. Are you investing? Are you spending? Are you sowing? Are you burying? God's watching. He knows. You can tell whoever, whatever, but God knows. And one day he's going to look and he's going to give you the real reason. And I want to hear, welcome, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Right now, with every head bowed, just quickly, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, number one, that's got to be done. That's got to be number one. Would you raise that hand if you need Jesus as your Savior? I'm not going to make you feel bad. I'm not going to make an example out of you. I just want to know. I'll pray for you from right here. Maybe you're here and you're not as close as you used to be and you want to get closer again. When nobody's looking around, would you raise that hand? I need you to pray for me, Pastor. I need to get closer again. Before we go any further, I want y'all to pray with me. Everybody. Lord, I dedicate my life to you. I rededicate my time, my talent, and my treasure to you. Because you own it all. And I'm going to be held in account of how I spend it or invest it. Whether I sow or bury. I thank you for my life in you. Now let me ask another question. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I hope that you took this sermon not as a beat down, but a lift up. Because it was not meant for anything but a lift up. Right here, right now, not going to call you up and make an example out of you again. I just want to know so we can pray quickly. If God's speaking to you, to help you, to show you, to be that good and faithful servant, and you want to avoid the plight of the third servant, not going to call you up here. I just want to pray for you right now. Would you lift that hand? I need God to help me. I need God to show me and help me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Right now, in the name of Jesus, help them, Lord, to realize we don't all have the same free time. We don't all have the same talent. We don't all have the same treasure. But God requires the same thing out of all of us, and that is to do our best with what He's given us. Now, If you got a need in your life, or you just want to talk to God, whatever it may be, I invite you right now. I invite you to come up here to this altar. I invite you to come to this altar right now and pray. I know it's 12 o'clock. It'll be okay. You got to pray. Come on up here and pray. Come up here and pray. God, I need you. God, I need your help. I need your instruction. I need your power. I need it. Lord, I need it. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch right now, Lord. Touch right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch right now. We love you. We praise your name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. We all don't have the same talent, the same treasure, the same amount of time, but God expects all of us to give our best for what we've got. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 Glory. Let me get the other ear. Get over here, Sister Kitty. Get over here. Sister Kitty's having back surgery this week. I want everybody that will to come up. We're going to pray for her. Back surgery can be a wonderful thing, but it's usually always a painful thing. Ladies, put your hands on her back. She needs peace, comfort, and to know that God's healing power is upon her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. You are powerful, Lord. You are awesome. You are a heavenly Father. And Lord, when nobody can go back there in that surgery department but the surgeon and the nurses, Lord, we know, God, that you're going to be back there too, overseeing and watching all of it. I thank you right now, Lord, that also you're going to be there holding Sister Kitty's hand. Touch her right now, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Let her feel your anointing, your peace, your comfort, your safety. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, God. And Lord, let the surgeon be amazed when he gets in there too, Lord. To see what you have done, God. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you have done, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Yes. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Glory. God, I thank you for the time that I do have. I thank you for the talent you have given me. I thank you, God, for the treasure. Help me, Lord, not to be looking at everybody else's time, talent, and treasure, because then that becomes a contest. Help me, God, to look at my time, talent, and treasure and give it to you, Lord, so that you'll be pleased with me and what I do. Thank you, Father. It's not a contest. It's sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I was riding up here this morning, and the Lord spoke with me, and I'm going to just throw it out there because I know I'm going to do it later as a sermon, but I'm going to throw this out there, and here it is. Some of y'all may deal with a lot of people with a bad attitude. Don't raise your hand. Some of y'all may deal with people that are hard to get along with, a lot of them. I'm going to give you a little hint here. If you're dealing with a lot of people with bad attitudes and a lot of people that are hard to get along with, then maybe, just maybe, it wouldn't hurt to turn the mirror this way. And not sowing and reaping. You start sowing a good attitude. You start sowing that peaceful, easy feeling. You start sowing and watch what God will do. Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Even if it's just one or two people, you make sure you sow them a good attitude and watch what will happen. Because God's awesome. Amen. God is awesome. God is awesome. Come back Tuesday night. It's going to be awesome. God's got something special for all of us. Everybody happy? Tonight's the singing. 5 or 6:30. Please come. Please come. It's important that you come. This is for us. And it's important that we come if it's for us. Amen? So come on. Come on in. It's the overcomers that have been here 2 or 3 times before. LJ from LJ's Body Shop, his group. They do a wonderful job. God's got his anointing upon them. It's going to be a country, southern gospel, bluegrass, combination of all of it. Come on. You'll love it. Amen. Amen. Brother Keith, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?